Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Pastor Matt Chuella of Mercy Seat Christian Church, located right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you would like to learn more about our church, you can visit our website at www.mercyseat.net. Today we will air a portion of a sermon entitled Afterthoughts from the War with Iraq. One of my greatest concerns regarding American Christianity is that Christians are not being ruled by objective truth, namely the Bible, nor are they governed by presuppositional thought. Rather, we are enthralled with pom-poms and flag-waving and governed by fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants situational ethics. When the people do not understand the purpose, role, and function of civil government, the government can get away with doing anything. This sermon addresses these concerns. Now, here's the sermon.
Some people have asked me whether or not, now that the war with Iraq is over, if I have changed my view on the war. Of course, my view on the war was that it was an unjust war because it didn't meet the criteria of the just war theory. The war was not just. That's the first tenet of the just war theory, is that the cause for the war must be just. It must be defense against some wrongful attack or retaking something wrongfully taken. And that was not the case. Also, I believe the intention for the war was not right, which is also another criteria for the war. So I took the position that the war was unjust. And I assume that people are wondering if I've changed my view on the war since then. I assume they are wondering whether I've changed my view or not because of all that the press did to demonize Hussein, in conjunction, of course, with the conservative talking heads, that in their mind, the war was just after all. Just after all. And do I agree with them now? And my simple answer to the question is not at all. Not at all. It was an unjust war before the fighting began, and it is still an unjust war after the fighting has ended. Now, that's an unpopular thing to say in our nation, and I have lost friends for saying it. I've learned that people don't like being told the emperor has no clothes when they're busy adoring his garments. Something I read, which was written by Gary DeMar in an article entitled Goodnight America, really struck home with me and summed up a great concern I have regarding how most Christians responded to this war. DeMar said this, he said, quote, "Without a proper understanding of the state's purpose and function, Christians can be trapped into believing that the state ought to promote policies beyond its legitimate role and authority." Let me repeat that to you. Without a proper understanding of the state's purpose and function, Christians can be trapped into believing that the state ought to promote policies beyond its legitimate role and authority. Now, in his article, DeMar is not talking about the war with Iraq. Rather, he is talking about how the Godfather, you know, from the Mafia, he's talking about how the Godfather would win people's allegiance to himself by helping them and giving to them in time of need. He points out how this is considered criminal for the Godfather to do, but when the state does it, it is acceptable to most all. And here's what DeMar says. He says, "The predatory politics and violent methods of the Godfather are criminal. Everyone understands this. But what is considered criminal when practiced by the Godfather all of a sudden becomes, quote-unquote, government policy in legislation coming from Washington. Lavish government spending programs and burdensome tax bills are legitimized by describing them as just, benevolent, fair, and good for the people. The rule of law, the Constitution, is often ignored and most often subverted to gain political power at the expense of personal freedom and liberty. Wealth is confiscated from the productive and transferred to the less productive in an attempt to buy votes. Vote buying becomes a means of increasing the scope of governmental power and legitimizes policies that can find no constitutional justification. As long as those in power offer the benefits that come with power, few people complain, except, of course, those who are being fleeced. He then makes his statement, without a proper understanding of the state's purpose and function, Christians can be trapped into believing that the state ought to promote policies beyond its legitimate role and authority. DeMar's point is that when the people do not understand the purpose, role, and function of civil government, the government can get away with doing anything. When the people do not understand the purpose, role, and function of civil government, the government can get away with doing anything. The function, role, and purpose of civil government is defined in Holy Scripture, brothers and sisters. And yet most do not preach regarding these matters, and so most Christians have no idea what the purpose, role, and function of civil government is. And when that's the case, the government can get away with doing anything. And I believe this is the case with the war with Iraq. As Christians, we need to be ruled by objective truth, namely the Bible, and governed by presuppositional thought. This is a great concern I have regarding American Christians, because what I have seen with the Iraq war is a lot of pom-pom and flag-waving and fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants situational ethics, but no subjection to objective truth and godly principles. The just war theory was written by men who understood the abusive power of the state. It is viewed by most as a Christian doctrine, even though non-Christians contributed to it. It lays out godly principles. It has been respected. It has helped restrain the state for over 1,000 years regarding war. I said before the war, I said this, if they, the government, are able to pull this off, the war with Iraq, then they can get away with anything because they're doing it in front of the whole world's face. Well, they did it. And the reason they are able to get away with such things is precisely because of what DeMar says here. Without a proper understanding of the state's purpose and function, Christians can be trapped into believing that the state ought to promote policies beyond its legitimate role and authority. This is why Rumsfeld can whine about they're using human shields while we bomb the homes of Iraq's military and non-military leaders, killing their wives and children in the process, and no American says a thing about it. This is why we can attack a sovereign nation who has not acted as an aggressor toward us or another nation in over a decade, and the Christian community says, fine. Some say Iraq was financing attacks against Israel. Saddam's no longer in power, and yet the attacks continue on unabated, don't they? This is why we can attack under the pretense of they have weapons of mass destruction, knowing full well they don't. I pointed out what a sham Colin Powell's report to the UN was in my sermon regarding the just war theory in Iraq. None, of course, have been found. Now they will hope it all goes away or they will plant their own. The reason these things can happen in our country is because we are a people who are no longer governed by godly principles, no longer governed by objective truth. We no longer are governed by presuppositional thought. And therefore, the government can get away with whatever it wants to get away with. Because the people in this nation don't have a clue what the purpose, role, and legitimate function of government is. We were told after the war began that this was now actually a war of liberation. You may recall that. Yet foreign policy was written long before the war was commenced. We were told it was a war of liberation. I said it was a war of oil and domination. And now America and Britain has won the right to control all of the oil and the economy and the land of Iraq for at least a year. Wars are always fought over money and dominance. Let me qualify that. Almost always fought over money and dominance. That's why they're fought. Wars are fought over money and dominance. Aggressors throw out virtuous reasons for fighting, like liberating people from a tyrant, as a cover for their lust for greed and power. Wars are fought over money and dominance, and the aggressor always throws out virtuous reasons for his war, like liberating a people from a tyrant, as a cover for their lust for greed and power. Herbert Schlossberg, in his book, Idols for Destruction, rightly declared this. He said, quote, "Under statism, love is a cover for the exercise of power." Supposedly, we were over there to help and love the Iraqi people. I guarantee you we were over there for our own self-interests regarding oil and domination. Schlossberg hit it on the head. He said, under statism, love is a cover for the exercise of power. I had an epiphany during this whole war thing. It is that I am not a friend of the conservatives. I have long said I am not a conservative or a liberal, but a biblical centrist. In other words, I believe that how we govern our lives and what we believe should be based on Scripture, not on either side of the political aisle. So I've long said I'm not a conservative or liberal, but a biblical centrist. But never before have I truly realized how truly I am not a conservative, but a biblical centrist, as this war has caused me to see. And it was an epiphany. The co-opting of God's kingdom to the political left or right is something those of us who name the name of Christ need to be wary of. The co-opting of God's kingdom to the political left or right is something those of us who name the name of Christ need to be wary of. We are Christians first. We serve another king. We are strangers and pilgrims in this land. Our politics are the politics of Jesus first. Whatever the political parties embrace that fits into his economy, we encourage them in it. Otherwise, we should eschew it. Today, with most of Christianity, that isn't the case, however. Most have been co-opted by the left or the right. This makes the churches little more than utilitarian institutions useful for the politicians' ends. Schlossberg, talking about this present state of American Christianity in his book, Idols for Destruction, says the following, quote, "In sociological terms, the church functions as just another means used by the political and social establishment to integrate society's values into the next generation. The support it receives depends on the extent to which it uncritically transmits values. Its passivity makes it acceptable and ensures its irrelevance." Now, that is a fantastic statement by Schlossberg. And I'll repeat it to you. In sociological terms, the church functions as just another means used by the political and social establishment to integrate society's values into the next generation. The support it receives depends on the extent to which it uncritically transmits values. Its passivity makes it acceptable and ensures its irrelevance. If that isn't the American church in a nutshell, I don't know what is. Edward Gibbon, in his classic, The Decline of the Roman Empire, said it this way. He said, quote, "To the people, all religions were equally true. To the philosophers, all religions were equally false. And to the politicians, all religions were equally useful." Another way of saying what these men have said is that the church is a whore. It has prostituted itself for the delicacies of the king, to ensure itself a place of prestige and respect with the powers that be. You may recall that in 1 Kings 22, the wicked King Ahab had no problem finding 400 prophets of the Lord who were perfectly willing to tell him what he wanted to hear. You recall that? King Ahab gathered together 400 prophets. And the king of Judah said, isn't there someone else to prophesy, Ahab? And he said, well, there's this guy named Micaiah, but he doesn't tell me what I want to hear. And the king of Judah said to the king of Israel, Ahab, he said, don't say such things, king. Bring him here and let's hear what he has to say. But that's how the church in America has become. It says what the culture and the powers that be want to hear. It has ensured its irrelevance by being like the 400 prophets of Ahab. It uncritically transmits the values of Americanism to the next generation, never calling it into question, never calling it to repentance, never calling it into judgment. As Schlossberg says, the relevant theologies of both left and right confer the baptismal sprinkle on their respective portions of the cultural and political spectrum. He goes on to say of the churches, quote, choosing to be relevant to society's illusions instead of their historic mission, they join society in its degeneration. That is a great point. Here's what he says of the churches. Choosing to be relevant to society's illusions instead of their historic mission, they join society in its degeneration. He goes on and he says this, quote, times of crisis produce surges of civil piety because religious observances are intended as propitiatory offerings to bring back good fortune and stability. Is this guy slam dunking our nation? Is this guy not slam dunking the church in America? Is this not true what he says? Is this not what we have seen in our nation since 9-1-1? Exactly what he describes here. Times of crisis produce surges of civil piety because religious observances are intended as propitiatory offerings to bring back good fortune and stability. All of America looks to God, the great genie in the bottle, to help them out after 9-1-1 and through the Iraq War and on and on. Trying to incantate the name of the Lord for their own purposes, yet they don't want to live according to His law. It's hypocrisy and it's evil. American Christianity adheres to the motto, brothers and sisters, of that Christ-hater Rousseau, which in essence was this. This was Rousseau's motto in essence. Let 1,000 gods blossom, so long as none of their cults interferes with the overarching devotion to the state. That was his motto. Let 1,000 gods blossom, so long as none of their cults interferes with the overarching devotion to the state. If that doesn't define American Christendom, I don't know what does. The biggest idol in America going is our devotion to the state rather than to Christ. Schlossberg concludes by saying this. He says, meanwhile, we are left with a church that to a large extent has chosen to befriend the powers that dominate the world instead of judging them. We should be reminded that the crucifixion of Christ was a joint production instigated by religious authorities and then carried out by the state. When the state joins forces with historicism and humanism in forging the great brutalities of the future, we should not be surprised to find the representatives of the establishment churches, fugalmen for the idolatries, earnestly assuring us that God's will is being done. Schlossberg's hit it right on the head. This is the American church, defined perfectly in the way he's written it. Something that has been taught repeatedly from this pulpit is that the people get what they deserve. The people get what they deserve when it comes to their political leaders, and the people get what they deserve when it comes to their religious leaders. Schlossberg puts it this way. He says, quote, the people get what they want, unquote, when it comes to religious and political leaders. They get what they want. And he is so right. He says in his book, quote, in their denunciations of the temple establishment, the prophets recognized that the false prophets and teachers prospered because the people preferred them to the hearing of truth. Evil priests and prophets abounded, said Jeremiah, because, quote, my people love to have it so, unquote. My people love to have it so, unquote. Jeremiah 5:31. Schlossberg then goes on to cite 2 Timothy 4:3, which says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. Schlossberg then states, people desire false teaching because it enables them to absolutize contingent systems to which they have given allegiance. Now that is a fantastic thought, and I'll repeat it to you. People desire false teaching because it enables them to absolutize contingent systems to which they have given allegiance. That is a fantastic statement. Here's what he goes on to say. They seek religious leaders who will bless their idolization of the nation or the state, or the unrestricted pursuit of wealth and power, or the acting out of their hatred through humanitarian policy. This is a great point. People desire false teaching because it enables them to absolutize contingent systems to which they have given allegiance. They seek religious leaders who will bless their idolization of the nation or the state, or the unrestricted pursuit of wealth and power, or the acting out of their hatred through humanitarian policy. And I could give you examples of every one here, of these ones he's listed here, of how the church just does that in all these areas. The people get what they want. The people get what they deserve when it comes to religious leaders. Now, while the American church is on the one hand busy with pom-poms in their hands blessing all that George Bush does and says, and on the other hand has cozied up to the Dixie Chicks of the world, in other words, has been co-opted by the right and the left, what goes undone is a clear prophetic message from the church to both sides of the political aisle. The reason for this is that the church, whether on the right or the left, or whether it be those Christians who pride themselves in their indifference toward civil affairs, all of them refuse to call this nation to account on behalf of their Savior and King. Whether they've been co-opted by the right or the left, or whether they're just indifferent towards civil government altogether, one thing they all have in common is they refuse to call this nation to account. There's a small remnant that does, but by and large, no one does. Remember what Schlossberg said? He said, meanwhile, we are left with a church that to a large extent has chosen to befriend the powers that dominate the world instead of judging them. And that's what we have with the church today. This is the crux of the problem. The church in America refuses to speak prophetically to this nation because they are too busy constructing a consumer-friendly gospel. Schlossberg writes in another place, he says this, quote, civil religion is capable of bringing people to the highest level of society's expectations, but is incapable of calling those expectations into judgment. Did you catch that? Go to just about any church. You know what they're preaching? What is viewed by success by Americanism, defined by Americanism. That's what they're preaching with a Christian veneer sprinkled on top. Looking out for number one, you're important, God exists for you. Civil religion is capable of bringing people to the highest level of society's expectations, but is incapable of calling those expectations into judgment. Now, there are many areas in which we need to call this nation to account. many. And we must do it. We must call it into judgment. We must say the emperor has no clothes. One area that we need to do it is in the area of abortion. This baby murder that's going on in our nation. We need to call this nation to account. While George Bush is spending billions of dollars to quote-unquote liberate the people of Iraq, nothing is being spent to liberate the helpless preborn in our own nation, where over 4,000 of them are unjustly killed every day. And yet the church in America says nothing of this. Rather, in dizzying fashion, they just cheer George on and turn a blind eye to their neighbor in need. This is what happens when the church has been co-opted and people have allegiance to political ideologies or parties first rather than to Christ first. Our loyalty better be to Christ first and take this nation to task. This is a bunch of nonsense. My epiphany, realizing I'm not a friend of the conservatives. For the first time, I could see how just a joke it is. The conservatives talk against the liberal press. The liberal press talks against the conservative talking heads. It's all a charade. It's all a game. And all the dumb Christians either line up on the left or line up on the right. And they put aside the truth of their king because they get caught up in the fight that's put before them by the press. Forget it. It's a charade. Speak prophetically to this nation. Declare His law and His great salvation. Make His word known to this nation. And forget all this other nonsense. Because that's exactly what it is. It's window dressing while the ship is going down.
That's all we have time for today, brothers and sisters. If you would like a copy of this sermon in its entirety, just send $4 to Mercy Seat Christian Church and ask for the sermon entitled Afterthoughts from the War with Iraq. That's Afterthoughts from the War with Iraq. Please note whether you would like audio cassette or CD. You can contact us by phone at 262-628-9169. That's 262-628-9169. Or you can visit us at our website at www.mercyseat.com. .net. The book which I quoted from at length in this sermon is entitled Idols for Destruction by Herbert Schlossberg. It was written in 1983. I don't know if it's still in print, but if you can get a copy of it, it's a great read. From all of us here at Mercy Seat Christian Church, this is Pastor Matt Chuella saying, God bless you and thank you for listening.